In 1929, Mussolini pulled off a diplomatic masterstroke. He signed the Lateran Treaties with the Vatican, which earlier had been alienated from Italian statehood, now guaranteeing that the Catholic Church had made its peace with this regime, at least for now. Though Mussolini described his regime as totalitarian, in fact, its control was far from total to begin with. We need now to turn to a closer examination of fascist ideology and style. What was fascism? What ideas did it stand for? Mussolini had once been asked, "Signore Mussolini, what does fascism mean?" And he had answered, "Me." Well, that wasn't a very useful answer for our purposes. We could dig a little deeper to understand the key notions of fascism, chief among them, action. Mussolini once summed up fascism itself in that one word. Vigorous action and violence were to be at the heart of the ideology. The Italian people, for so long robbed of united statehood, were to be remade through wars and the conquest of new empires. The slogan of the fascist movement was credere, obbedire, combattere, believe, obey, and fight, the cardinal virtues. Fascism was also identified with the authority of the state and its personification, il duce, the leader, Mussolini himself. The state stood above individuals and expressed something larger than their aggregation. Larger than the sum of its parts, the state was to be a higher unity. And Mussolini, the leader, called il duce, by the way, always supposed to be rendered in capital letters in print, was to dominate the masses, who, somewhat chauvinistically in his macho attitudes, he considered to be feminine in nature and mastered by the force of his personality. The leader, Mussolini, was, in his very appearance, somewhat unlikely as a dominator of the masses. He was not very tall, in fact, just a little bit under average height at 5'6". But he would seek to accentuate his height by always speaking with his chin thrust upwards to make it appear that he was being viewed from a height. Mussolini's characteristic oratory and bombast seemed to produce results in the cheering of the crowds. The slogan, "Mussolini is always right," seemed at such moments to achieve its vindication in the masses. The fascists, moreover, claimed to be inaugurating a new world era, and the March on Rome was designated the year zero of a new fascist calendar. We've already seen the establishment of new calendars, for instance, in the French Revolution of the 18th century. Nostalgias for the glories of ancient Rome permeated fascist propaganda in a cult of what was called Romanita, or a revival of the ancient Roman glories. Fascist monuments, huge and overbearing in style, resembling in uncanny ways those of the Soviet Union, mimicked Roman glories. At the same time, fascists promised progress, technological change, and the modernization of Italy. In one of their characteristic phrases, they claimed they would finally make the trains run on time. It's a testimony to the durability of such phrases that we sometimes hear even American politicians sometimes using this phrase without understanding that it doesn't have positive implications or its historical origins. Mussolini ordered public works projects on a gigantic scale, the building of the Autostrada superhighways, the draining of the Pontine marshes, and the battle for grain to make Italy self-sufficient in food. Even free time was regimented by the regime, which claimed to be total, in the Dopolavoro organization. The fascists also tried to regiment youth. They tried to project an image of their own youthfulness, breaking with the old and the traditional, to produce a new man. Italian youth were inducted into organizations which wore black neckerchiefs, unlike the red neckerchiefs of the youth organizations of the Soviet Union. Their organizations were called the Balilla, or the Figli della Lupa, the Sons of the Wolf. Mass exercises, mass sports on the part of youth served both as propaganda and preparation for war. The fascists also claimed to have an entire new economic philosophy that transcended earlier class conflict and exploitation, which was called corporatism. This corporatism allegedly would set up corporate bodies representing workers, owners, and professionals inducted into the government and forming a new corporate state without class conflict of economic harmony. These styles of rule. These potent symbols of the fascists would be imitated worldwide in an illiberal wave, the rise of dictatorships. Worldwide, but especially in Central and Eastern Europe, and also in South America, dictatorships, as well as fascist movements or fascist style movements, arose imitating Mussolini's image of a strong man in the fascist style.